First of all, speaking as a Yorkshire MP, let me say this first of all. The London economy succeeding and prospering is hugely important, not just for Londoners, but for the rest of the United Kingdom. And people in my constituency want London to do well because we know a prosperous global London helps the whole of the United Kingdom to be prosperous. And anybody who rolls up and says, well, actually, the solution to that challenge on living standards is to make London less well off, so the rest of the country could be more better off, is a fool. This is not a zero-sum game. And our agenda is to find ways in which we can balance our economy and strengthen growth and investment so we have rising productivity and living standards in London and across the whole of the United Kingdom. And I think that's a very important starting point. I want to say three things about the challenge we face. First of all, this. I don't think that we have any future as a country, as an economy, and I don't think this city has any prosperous future other than as an open, international, outward-looking trading nation, open to the world, open to ideas, open to the best talent, and winning foreign investment and bringing the best ideas to our country. When you think of the great strengths of London, it's hundreds of years of experience in being at the centre of global commerce. And our strength is our reputation, the solidity of our legal system, the fact that people can trust this as a place to do business. And that is something which is a worldwide reputation based upon a worldwide business experience. And the sectors which are strong here, financial and professional services, or creativity and media, as well as advanced manufacturing, they're all sectors which are strong because we are open, internationalist and outward-looking. And that's how it's got to stay. And I don't think we have any future as a country, any successful future. And I think it would be a disaster for London if we were to turn our backs on the biggest single market on our doorstep, the European Union. Europe needs to change and reform. The Eurozone faces great challenges. There are issues to look at around competitiveness and the single market, the way the immigration rules and the benefit rules work. There are many challenges, but we can't walk away from this biggest single market on our doorstep. And I do think that Britain exiting the EU in the next 5 years is now the single biggest risk to the prosperity of our country and to the prosperity of London. I don't see how any mayor of London could advocate Britain leaving the European Union without understanding that would put jobs and investment at risk here in London and damage the long-term standing of this city, just as it would do damage to Honda and Nissan and Toyota and Jaguar and Rolls-Royce and global companies manufacturing, exporting from across the United Kingdom. So let's reform Europe, but let's stay an open, internationalist country, banging the table and leading the reform of Europe. My second point is this. I have always believed in the dynamism of markets and the importance of tapping and exploiting the talents and skills of our best entrepreneurs. And I think we need to be an open, outward, internationalist market economy. But open, internationalist market economies which have high productivity do so not simply because governments stand back and say, let the free market take grip, but because government works with business to plan in key areas so that we can have high levels of productivity rather than low levels of productivity. And we need to do that, and we need to do that better in the coming years than we've done in the past. And we need to do that not only in our highest productivity sectors, but right across every sector of our economy. We can't succeed in a race to the top to get good jobs on high productivity unless we have all our young people coming out of school with the right kind of qualifications and that we work with employers to then train people to get the apprenticeships and the skills which we need. And to do that, we have to work together and we have to have a plan. We aren't going to manage to have a skilled workforce which can afford to live in London unless we build many more homes than is happening at the moment, affordable homes, using brownfield land, working in partnership with developers, but making sure we do that and actually deliver the numbers. And for all the talk, the numbers in the last few years has been deeply disappointing. And I do think that that what we set out with our Lions review and the recommendations it makes on housing would mean a step change in our ability to meet London's housing needs for the future. I think another area where we really need a plan and to work with businesses on infrastructure. The fact is, as I hinted at earlier, we have dithered and delayed for too long on the big infrastructure decisions which we need to take. I mentioned airport capacity in the southeast. That was a decision which was kicked into the long grass, first of all, in the manifestos of some parties before the last general election, and then after the election, by establishing the Davis Review with a timetable not to report for this election, but to report after the general election. And I thought that was a mistake. I thought the political process should have been challenged to take a view on these issues before the general election. It should have reported by now. We are where we are. This is a vital issue. We are clear about this. We have to make a swift decision to expand airport capacity following the Davis Review early in the next Parliament, taking into account environmental concerns, but getting the expanded airport capacity which London needs, the South East needs, and the whole of the United Kingdom needs. And there is cross-country support, in my view, in the business community for that airport expansion. And I have to say, this is my only one party political point I'm going to make in this whole discussion, for the Chancellor and the Mayor of London to launch an economic plan a few weeks ago for London with an article in the Evening Standard, and not to mention the issue of airport capacity once in that plan and in that article, I think is out of touch with the needs of the business community in London and the needs of our economy across the United Kingdom. That is the opposite of a long-term approach. I thought for the Mayor and George Osborne to miss out airport capacity was a staggering omission. We've got to make an early decision after the general election. And we need to do that in other areas as well on our infrastructure. We've proposed, following Sir John Armitt's report who delivered the Olympics, we've proposed a long-term infrastructure commission reporting to Parliament, independent of the executive, to come up with a long-term plan and then hold government's feet to the fire so that we get in every region over the next 20 to 40 years the infrastructure improvements we need to see to deliver productivity. London is going to continue to grow over that period. It will be a vital part of that independent commission's work to make sure that it ensures London's infrastructure, including transport, gets the investment that London needs. Crossrail is a big step forward, which we were all part of delivering. Plans for Crossrail 2 are already underway. Our commission will make sure that the transport infrastructure of this city can cope as London continues to grow and prosper, so that we can continue to deliver more jobs and higher productivity here in this city. And then my third point is this. Open and international, a plan for productivity, a long-term plan on skills, on infrastructure, on housing, the things we need to do together. But we've also got to make sure that our economy works for all and not just some. And that's why our emphasis is on jobs for all young people rather than long-term unemployment, an apprenticeship guarantee for all young people with the qualifications, making sure we get the right balance of the minimum wage and the living wage and tax credits, making sure that we stop false self-employment in parts of our economy or the exploitation of zero-hours contracts, and making some difficult decisions on taxation at a time when most people are worse off. We still have a big challenge to get our deficit down, and it's got to come down in the next Parliament. I disagree with Joe. I don't think at this stage we can justify cutting the top rate of income tax when we still have such a challenge ahead and when so many people have been under such a pressure. And that's why that I would rather all taxes were lower. But I think we need to keep the top rate of tax at 50p while we get the deficit down in the next Parliament. And we've also set out plans to make sure that an under-taxed part of our economy, the highest value properties across the United Kingdom, they make their contribution so that we can invest in our National Health Service. And I'm sure there'll be questions about that that I will answer. But it's important to understand what this is about. It's about making sure that we can show the people of the United Kingdom, including London, that an open international economy, part of Europe, a market economy where government plays its role with business, is an economy in which working people thrive and are better off. We won't succeed if working people in work are worse off rather than better off in the next few years. And that is a collective endeavour which we have to be part of. An economic plan which delivers higher productivity and more good jobs is also the best way to get our deficit down. So I see those two things as going in tandem. And when I read the Manifesto for Jobs and Growth here, look at what you're saying on Europe, on expanding housing, on investing in skills, on keeping our tax system competitive, and also making sure we get the long-term infrastructure plan we need, I say let's work together and deliver that so that we can make sure working people succeed, this capital succeeds, and Britain succeeds in the future. Thank you very much.